Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I'm thrilled to share with you this interview I got to do with Delilah S. Dawson for her brand new horror novella, Bloom. Bloom starts out as a lovely sapphic romance with very cottagecore witchy vibes and then takes a very dark turn. It's a gorgeous book and it's out right now, so be sure to go snag a copy. We have plenty at Gibson's bookstore. It is one of my staff picks. I love this book so much. It's a perfect spooky season read. I had a really wonderful time chatting with Delilah, so let's just jump right into it. Hi, Delilah S. Dawson. How are you?
Hi, I'm wonderful. And I already got the post office trip over for the day. So it's like the hardest thing is done.
Yes, I also got my post office trip done this morning. I'm good. Yay. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm so excited to talk about Bloom.
Me too. This will be my first, like, you know, PR thing talking about it as I move out of Midnight at the Houdini and into Bloom World. I haven't gotten to speak to anybody about Bloom yet, so I'm really excited.
Oh, I am honored. I'm so excited to have this privilege. I mentioned this briefly before we started recording, but for the listeners, my sales rep, Susie, shout out to Susie, months ago, emailed me and was like, I have an arc for you. I don't read a lot of horror, but I need to hear what you think about this book because I just read it and it's so good and I think you're gonna love it. And then
I love Susie already. Can I just say I love Susie?
Like, thank you, Susie. She's the best. And she was totally right. I devoured it. And then we had this like very funny feral back and forth about the book and like, cause she was like, I need to talk to someone about it. It was so cute. So shout out to Susie. Thank you for shoving this at me because I needed it. For the listeners who haven't had the privilege to read this book yet, tell us a little bit about Bloom.
So Bloom is a novella. It's out October 3rd. It has probably the prettiest cover I've ever seen in my whole life, mm-hmm. which I got to have a hand in, which is rare for authors. So I'm very excited about that. But it's sprung from my teen daughter, who is the coolest person I know, got really into Hannibal. And of course, I've been into Hannibal for years. And she was like, I don't get why all of the hot serial killers are guys. Like, it's not fair. And I was like, I could tell you the real answer or I could write you a book. So I wrote her a book. I was like, here.
I love that.
So my daughter is a baker. So that was fun too. But it is basically kind of the concept of Hannibal reimagined as two women who meet at a farmer's market. And one of them is kind of a subsistence farmer who makes everything from the ground up and makes the prettiest cupcakes and the most beautiful candles and plants and sells honey and just looks like an angelic Laura Ingalls Wilder. And the new college professor who falls for this hook, line, and sinker, as many of us would, finds out that things are a little bit darker than anticipated.
Yes, indeed. It was so funny because obviously I knew going into this is a spooky book, right? Susie has told me this is a spooky book. And I mean,
there's a flayed face, like a flayed human face on the cover.
Literally, it's a horror novel. And yet I was just so taken with Ash. Like, I was like falling for her right alongside Ro. And I was just like, this is such a lovely, like sweet, kind of witchy cottagecore romance. And then I would remember and I'd be like, oh no, what's about to happen?
Yay, that's the feeling I was going for.
It's incredible. Yeah, it's like even knowing where it's going, like I was still so wrapped up and I was just like, I want one of those cupcakes. Like, I would totally go to Ash's house and eat her food and fall for her completely and ignore any red flags.
That is the best cheese and charcuterie board on earth, I bet.
Oh, it right? I had to have snacks. Yep, I would maybe avoid the tapenade.
I don't like tapenades. I didn't before and I don't now.
Especially now, if there was ever a chance that I might try it, that is out the window.
Time's fled.
I love this book. I love the setup of it. I love that it is that kind of rush of falling in love where you do ignore the red flags, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh God, this, there have been signs the whole time that maybe this was toxic, and yet I
Yeah, I
ignored
had to
them.
kind of build in a lot of insecurity in Rose so that that would work. Like, I don't
Yeah.
get to give her encephalitis like some writers. I had to just make her insecure.
Yeah, yep. No, it's true. No, I love it, and I agree. We need more female serial killers, more female villains. I just finished reading Maeve Fly, and I was like, yes, like please, more female serial killers, please. So this is, man, I'm so excited for
Well, I
this
just finished
one.
writing, or I guess the book just came out, Star Wars Inquisitor: Rise of the Red Blade, which is also a female killer. So I feel like I'm
Yes.
finding a lane.
Yes, I love this. This is a trend that I will fully back. I
And
love this.
even Midnight at the Houdini, my book that came out next week, there is in fact someone in there who is a female who's trying to kill people. So
I love, see, I love this. This is great. This is
nobody tell my husband about all this. Just tell him everything's fine.
I know sometimes my husband is not a horror reader. And sometimes he'll ask me about a book I'm reading, and I'll give like the very vague, like elevator pitch. And he'll be like, oh, that sounds really good. And then I'll be like, yeah. And I'll give more detail. And he'll be like, okay, sure. You're
I'd like to
terrifying.
sleep at night, but thank you.
Genuinely. Yeah. Okay. So you talked about kind of where this came from. So did you know kind of, did you have the whole plot kind of mapped out when you started writing? Was there anything that kind of like surprised you along the way? Or were you like, nope, this is, I am writing this specific twist. I'm writing this everything from the get-go.
You know, for a lot of my books these days, I use the Story Genius method of plotting. I found it to be a real game changer for my writing. That book is by Lisa Cron. If you're a writer who's looking to connect character arc to plot intrinsically from the beginning of a book, it's like my Bible. I proselytize about it all the time. So
Nice.
for most books, I use that to make sure that I'm going to be able to kind of like land the ending. But for horror books, I really want to be able to discover things along the way. So I have some ideas for scenes kind of like jotted down in notes on my phone or on a little index card that I'll use. And I have a vague idea of where it's going. But, you know, part of horror is not knowing. So me not knowing kind of benefits everyone.
Nice.
And this book is also unique in that it's a novella. I write really fast, so I have a lot of book contracts, and they all have this non-compete thing. It says like, oh, well, if you sell us an adult fiction, you can't sell adult fiction to anyone else. But I was talking to my agent, and they were like, well, it says full length adult fiction, so I can sell a novella. So this is my first time, you know, writing a novella, hoping that it would be, you know, able to sell and be printed and published. You know, I've written novellas back from my Wicked as She Comes series, my Shadow series had some novellas, but it was different from this, which is like, I am writing a horror novella that I hope to see in print, and I hope somebody likes it. So it was a very unique experience. I'd never done it before.
That's really cool. That's great. Well, I'm so glad that it was able to happen because God, it's gorgeous.
Oh, they did such a good job. Like the end papers. I don't know if I've ever had like printed end papers like this.
Oh, I can't wait because I only have the arc, so I'm really excited to see like all of the finished. Oh,
Do
that's
you want me to
exciting.
show you, or do you want to wait
Yes.
and be surprised?
Can
Okay.
I? Yeah.
Yeah, people can't see us, but like it's very beautiful and it's got, you know, you can see like the spot gloss. And you open it up and it's got these end
Oh.
papers that are just
Oh,
so pretty.
that's
And then
gorgeous.
it's got like little drawings, or I guess not drawings, but like, see on the dedication page to my daughter, there's a little cupcake. So it is a
Oh,
very
that's
beautiful book.
beautiful. Oh, and it's red. It's oh, it's so pretty.
It's red and flesh colored. Thanks, guys. You know what's up.
So you said you got to have some input into the cover, which I do. I know that is super rare. So like what kind of were you able to be like, I want this vibe, or were you like really specifically like picking things? Like how involved did you get to be?
This book is very different. In most traditionally published books, when you start out as a writer, you get no say in your cover. It shows up one day and you're like, oh, this is interesting. Or sometimes you're really excited. My first book cover was for a steampunk vampire book, and it showed up, and the guy had been described as like slender and pale, and he showed up like beefy as a professional wrestler and tan like he had been. And I was like calling my agent, like, I have some notes. But this book, as I've
Oh.
gotten further along, I've been able to have more say in my covers, and they add that to my contracts. But for this one, I had this vision in my head of this, like, you know, kind of human bust surrounded by very lush flowers and kind of, you know, Victoriana sort of stuff. So I had this strong feeling about it. So I went to my Blick art supply store that I'm very familiar with in my hometown, and I bought a bunch of like fancy wrapping papers and little Victorian sticker books. And I sat there and cut out all these little flowers and stuff, and I made a piece of artwork. And then I took a picture of it and put on Instagram and like tagged my editor, and it was like, "This is what I had, you know, would love to see. Wish the cover would be something like that." So like sweetly, lovingly, passive aggressive, where I was like, "This is just what I see in my head. Who'll know what they come up with?" And then they liked it enough that they sent it to the designer, and the designer like improved upon it 100%. So
That's
it was
so
a very pleasant
cool.
experience. You're like, "What you did is better than what I did, and it's perfect, and I love it."
That's really cool. I love that. It's such a good cover. It's so striking.
Feel. And now I'm like, where did I put the original artwork? Like, it has to be somewhere around here.
It's
Probably not.
lurking somewhere.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So I know that you write really widely. You write across different genres, different age ranges. Is there one that's been the most fun or enjoyable to write? Is there one that that you would like to continue going back to over and over? Like, have you found your niche?
I have known from the start I was going to write in a lot of different genres. So like when I was querying agents with my first book, which is this complete trash, I was looking for agents who represented a wide variety of genres. So it's like the first book I wrote was, you know, women's fiction, and then the second, or I guess it was like, you know, chick lit kind of, I don't know. It didn't sell. It was, the first sentence was about diarrhea. Nobody wants to read that book. The second book was a middle grade fantasy, and that one got the agent. And then the third book was the one that sold, and it was a steampunk vampire urban fantasy romance. So I'm all over the place. I get real bored. So whatever I'm currently writing is the thing I'm like, this is it. This is the best thing. Like, it's like when you're a teenager dating, you're like, this is it. This is perfect love. And then like you finish it and you're like, yeah, I gotta do something else now.
That's
So
so valid.
I'm really enjoying like kind of feminist horror now. You know, I guess I started with The Violence, which is hard to find a shelf to put on, but lots of people have seen it as a kind of you know, domestic horror. And then I've got two middle grade horror books, Mine and Camp Scare, and a third one coming next year. And then I have another book out with Del Rey that they haven't announced yet that is feminist horror that's going to come out next year. And then they've already bought another novella to follow Bloom. So
Nice.
around my, like, I there's other things happening over here, but I definitely would like to keep going in the horror vein. It's really fun, and the community has been really friendly and uplifting and fun, and I'm a very haunted person.
Excellent. I love to hear that. I agree. The horror community is full of some of just like the kindest, sweetest people that I've ever met. Like they
Yeah.
are incredible. So welcoming. So here's a qu I heard this question at an author event recently, and I love this question. And so I'm curious, do you what are the things that you gravitate towards writing versus reading? As in, like, do you read the same type of stuff that you write, or like, are you all over the place with your reading, or is it totally different?
Like right now I try to prioritize blurbing books. So, you know, writers lifting writers up. So
Yeah.
if I've got blurbs to write, I'm focusing on those books, which have mostly been middle grade horror lately, which is super fun
Nice.
for me. And adult horror. I got to blurb Rachel Harrison's story collection recently, Bad Dolls, which is fun.
So good.
But I usually will be reading something very different from what I'm writing. I do not personally enjoy like book research. Like, I don't want to research what kind of corset they would have worn in the 1700s. I want to read a Deanna Raeburn book and see what she writes and then crib off of it.
Yes.
So historical fiction feels like a thing that I don't think that I am uniquely skilled to write that sort of thing, just because I know people would be like, that's not how a steam-powered engine works. They didn't have TVs in 1920. You know, it's basically, I know my limits, and leaving that up to the people who are really passionate about history, which I am not. And I also enjoy reading kind of like you know, police procedural type
Oh,
stuff about, you
nice.
know, like, oh, we're following, you know, this FBI investigator as they do things, where you're just like, again, I don't know anything about how an investigator works, or the FBI, or any of that kind of paperwork stuff. So, I wouldn't want to get it wrong. The kind of research I like is like, I'm going to write a trapeze sex scene. I need to go be on a trapeze and see what that feels like when you're sitting on it. I need to go ride a camel because I'm going to write people, write a book about people running on camels, which happened. Those were my blood books, my vampire romance books. But I was
Love
like,
that.
if I'm going to tell people that you can mack on a trapeze, I'd better make sure you can mack on a trapeze. So
Absolutely.
I enjoy that much more. I love kind of sweet contemporary YA romance, Stephanie Perkins, Jen Bennett, that sort of thing. It's like, oh, falling into tummy flutters. So yeah, very different from what I'm writing right now.
I think that's great. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And I am with you on the historical fiction. I respect it, and I respect the people who read it, and my brain can't. I could never write it. I just don't want to do research.
A lot of work. I
It's
don't want to
a
do
lot
work.
of
I want to
work.
play.
It's amazing, and I love the people who choose to do it, and I am grateful to them, but oof, I that is not me. That is not me. So you have gotten so many incredible blurbs and reviews for Bloom. Is there one in particular that stood out to you, one that you were like the most excited for? Or a couple? You can mention a
I mean,
couple.
all like I could just pull out the book and read them to you. Like as they came in, it was just like love letters from people I really, really admire. I just, and they're all on the back. It's so nice. Like Chuck Wendig is one of my best friends. I really value his thoughts. Eric LaRocca is completely like upsetting horror. And I don't know if I could have sold a novella if he hadn't kind of broken down the doors for selling novellas and horror. Hayley Piper has been super cool. I want to do an event with her, but we're so far away. Ali Wilkes, same thing. Paul Tremblay, like he's so supportive. Like Christy DeMeester, Rachel Harrison, like all these people. It's just like I was a very lonely child who had a really hard time making friends. So getting a blurb is like, they like me. They don't hate me. No one's going to spit on me on the bus. This is marvelous.
I know, I was so excited seeing the blurbs come in because of course I've read it and I have read, all of their books and Chuck will be here later this month and I'm going to be Rachel's been on this podcast three times and it was just so nice to be like, I feel validated in my love for this book because my friends also love this book.
I feel that.
And actually, while I was reading it, I was jotting down notes. I was like, this has the same, like, this is giving me the same vibes that Cackle did from Rachel Harrison.
Oh, nice. I love that.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, this is going to be like all of my customers who loved Cackle, they're getting Bloom. Like, like, hey, here you go.
Yay.
Oh, you finished that? Read this one next.
Oh, I love that. Because, I mean, that's what we want is if you like this, you'll like that. And
Yeah.
it can be, I remember. Back in like the early 2000s, before the internet was the internet and social media existed, I remember walking through the bookstore was the only way to pick books, and I saw Into the Wilderness by Sarah Donati, and the bloom on it was from Diana Gabaldon. And at the time, I was really into Outlander back when there were only like three books out, and I remember like, oh my God, if Diana Gabaldon likes this book, it must be great. So now I've read everything Sarah Donati's ever written, and I think she's amazing. So.
There you go. It really works. It really works. We did a display one time in the bookstore that was based entirely on the blurbs on the front covers. It was something like blurb your enthusiasm, I think was the sign.
Oh, that's genius. That is genius.
And so and it was entirely, it was like, yeah, you might not know anything about this book, but look at this blurb. Look who blurbed this book and look what they said. Now you need that book.
Yeah.
And it was great. Like people loved it. And of course, like as a bookseller, that's like my whole thing. I'm just like, hi, you need this and also this, and this is this plus this. Like it's just
Blessed are the booksellers.
the feral indie booksellers, man. We really we
It's
just
such a blessing. Like that's just writers often feel like we don't have a lot of control over our careers, that there's nothing we can do to move the needle or get people excited about books. And most of us are introverts who are terrified of saying to people, I think I'm okay. Would you maybe look at this, please, if you don't mind and it's not a bother? And the fact that y'all shout it from the rooftops is the biggest gift.
Yeah, it's really fun and I love finding, whether it's a debut author or, a new genre for an author or something like that. Like I love finding the ones where it's like, oh, I can tell that maybe this book won't get like the huge mega marketing push that like, you know, this best-selling author is going to get because they know where the money is. So it's like, I'm going to focus on this one and I'm going to hand sell the crap out of it.
that moves mountains though. Like that makes stuff happen.
I'm New England booksellers. I have watched the New England area booksellers like launch careers. Like it's insane. Like I've like watched it ripple, and like it's really cool to be a part of that community because we are loud and passionate, and and we will, you know, if we love a book, oh boy, you're gonna hear about it.
Kevin Hearn and Chuck Wendig and I did a little mini tour up there, and I'd never been to that area. I'm from the South.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. Like the people were amazing. The booksellers were so excited. The stores were beautiful. Huh. Mystic Pizza had the best gluten-free pizza I've ever had. And I think about it like seriously daily. It was a great trip.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. And it's funny. Yeah. I was looking at some of the books on Edelweiss, which is like the bookseller database or whatever, of the comps to your book. And I was like, okay, yeah, Cackle. Yep. Makes sense. Yep. Black River Orchard. Totally makes sense. Come For Me with Apples. Absolutely. And then you were also comped with like Shirley Jackson. And like, I was like, oh,
I'll take that. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, Chuck we're doing an event together in Allentown, Pennsylvania on the day that Bloom launches.
No,
that'll be fun. I think there's going to be like apple tasting. So yes. I was like, maybe I need to bring like some Georgia honey or cheese or something.
Ooh yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the rules for like honey on a plane. But
true. Oh yeah. I don't know how that works, but cheese you could do. Yeah. We're doing an heirloom apple tasting when he comes here, later this month. And yeah, I'm like my coworker and I are going apple picking together to like pick out the best.
It's the best thing, like connecting an experience to a book is just the funnest thing.
It's so fun. And Clay McLeod Chapman's gonna be here. They're gonna be in conversation, and Clay's like, I think I'm gonna learn palm reading, I guess.
We'll make it a show. They asked me to do a local writers group gets together once a month, and they do you know, kind of like a talk, a Q&A. And they said to me, oh, we like the writers to kind of do something fun they never get to do, you know, if you play guitar, if you sing, any kind of performance, we love to see kind of a show. And I was like, oh, nobody, I don't, music is not my thing. And I was thinking, I've got to do something. And I was like, well, I used to paint murals and people would just stand behind me and watch for hours. So I got my easel and my paints and a thing. And I was like, I'm just going to paint a painting live while I talk to you over my shoulder.
That's really,
like,
cool.
Really fun. Then we raffled off the painting at the end because they always do a raffle. So it was like, it was a fun, different kind of event.
That's a great idea. I love that. Oh, man. Yeah, I have a friend who's a painter, and she will sometimes just go on like Facebook Live while she's painting. And yeah, I can sit there and watch her for literally hours working on this like teeny little part of her painting. And I'm just mesmerized. Yeah. So that's a really cool event idea. I love that.
Just need an author who can speed paint in an hour.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just, all right. Next time that comes up, I'm going to be like, oh, do you paint? No, that's super cool. All right. Let me see. You should see like my notes of just insanity. But I was like, reading this and scribbling things down and that. So you're getting more into like feminist horror, things like that. What scares you? What's the thing that scares you the most?
See, I mean, there's two layers of this. I mean, the first answer is just men.
Yep.
Just the fact that like everything bad that's ever happened to me pretty much has been because a man chose to hurt me.
Yep.
So that's probably where the feminist part of the horror comes from. And a lot of my stories, like the ghost eventually like just needs help or wants to be helpful. Like the ghosts aren't always like, I just want to hurt you. The ghost is usually like, I need help, or I'm trying to help you. Like the ghosts are in on it.
Yep.
So I love ghosts. I am terrified of wolf spiders. Like I'm cool with tarantulas, jumping spiders, orb spiders, but like I see a wolf spider and I know about, I don't like that at all.
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah, rickety old amusement parks frighten me. I've used those in several books. You know, the thought that like if one bolt comes unstuck, you're just dead.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I would go to Six Flags, and I had this theory in my head that I was like, what if like every 10th kid they just kill for fun? And so back then, Epcot in Norway, they had the Maelstrom ride, where it's
Yes.
like, and now it's the Elsa ride. But
Yep.
at one point, this ride is rigged to suddenly stop and then go backwards very fast. So we're riding this. We didn't know this because back in 1989, there was no internet. So we're just like, oh, we're on a nice ride learning about Vikings. And it stops and it starts to quickly go backwards. And I start screaming, I told you so. I was right. I literally thought Disney World has decided to murder us.
Oh
If
no.
at any point my parents had been like, let me explain insurance to you, maybe this would have changed it. But yeah, no, as a kid, I was pretty concerned about, amusement parks killing me for fun. Just,
Oh.
you fall in the water, you drown. There's a guy with a rake that fishes you out, and they just throw you in a dumpster, and nobody ever knows.
Oh God, yeah. I worked at an amusement park for several
So
years.
you scraped the children out of the
So I
pool
was the
with a
one scraping the.
squeegee. Yeah.
I was the one hiding them in the haunted house. Yeah, I refuse. I will go to amusement park, like the ones that are there full time. Those I'm
Yeah.
fine with because I know personally, I was a rides operator. I know personally how often they have to test them.
But not the
The
ones in the parking
fares
lot.
that they put up overnight, you could not pay me any amount of money to ride any of those rides. Absolutely not. There's no possible way that those are safe.
I went to one in like 2015, and we were on the little Highland swings, with like the chains and the seat, and my kids would have been like 6 and 8 or something, but they were pretty young. And it's like I can't remember if they were like they were behind me, so I couldn't see them. And we're going, and I look down and I realize that like all you have to do to die is pull up a bar and step off. Like there is nothing stopping you. Like a 6-year-old child, there is nothing stopping them from just splattering on the ground. And like the whole I was just having a heart attack the whole time, like trying to look behind me. Oh my God. Yeah, so those are all very frightening things to me.
Absolutely. I can't do it. I also I hit a certain age where I started refusing to go to like the haunted house attractions because someone made an offhand comment about like, oh, I mean like, someone could like kill someone in one of those and no one would know. And I was like, well, that's it for me. I'm never
Yeah, you
ever
just passed by. I worked at a haunted house for 2 years and I loved it. I loved working in the
going.
haunted house. It was so much fun. I have so many stories. Cannot believe that at the age of, 16, my parents let me get in a car, drive an hour downtown, stay there till 3 in the morning and drive back alone. But I will not go in one. My husband tried to
No.
get me to go to one once because he was like, oh, we worked in one. So this was fun. And we got to like the first thing and I stopped the person. I said, hi, I knew you have an emergency exit and I need to go out of it right now. And they walked me out the back door, and I was like, well, we're done with that. Like, I will work here. Like, if you want me to work here for 30 minutes, like, I throw on the fake blood, I will work here, but like, I'm not going through there.
No, I don't trust it. Especially now that there's been horror movies of that exact premise. I'm like, see?
Nope, it's out there.
I can't do it. Amazing. As we wrap up, is there anything that you've been reading recently that you want to recommend?
Oh wow. Well, I mean, I have to talk about my friend Chuck Wendig's upcoming book, Black River Orchard, which they are
Yes.
sending me a copy so that we can be in discussion on our October 3rd
Yay.
event, which I can't wait because I loved his last horror book, which I can't think of because all I can
Oh,
think
the
of is
Book of
the upcoming.
Accidents.
That's it. Like I can see
Oh,
it in my
it's
head and
so
I know I have it.
good.
Like when one song is on, you can't listen to another song.
Yeah,
I've been hearing
100%.
about the Apple book since before any of y'all knew it existed. Like I've been hearing about the Apple book for like 3 years. So in my head, it's just the Apple book.
It's the evil Apple book. I
Yeah.
cannot tell you how often I say the name wrong. It's just the evil Apple book. Yeah.
Oh, and I love how the cover looks like old school Stephen King. Like it just looks like
Yes.
a 1987 Stephen King.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And yeah, Clay McLeod Chapman's What Kind of Mother looks super fun.
Yes.
I am reading a God, I've been reading some really cool middle grade stuff, middle grade horror to blurb. I've got to check the names because when you read a book to blurb, it's usually just like a PDF document. It doesn't
Literally,
have a
yeah.
title everywhere. So I do not have the full. Okay, I read a book recently. It's by Delacorte. It's a middle grade. It's called It Happened to Anna, and it's by Taylor K. Mejia. But it was like, I like to write really dark middle grade because dark middle grade helped me through. Like, I read Pet Sematary at 10 and it changed me forever. And it's hard to go back to, Goosebumps when you've been to Pet Sematary. But this one was like really dark. It was about a girl who, every time she gets close to someone in her life, this ghost that follows her starts threatening. And so finally, when she decides not to take it anymore, the ghost kills her friend. And basically she
Wow.
gets the message, like, if you get close to anyone, this ghost that follows you is going to kill them. So she's just like,
Wow.
which it's such a dark premise, but it was a really cool
Yeah.
book and I enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that is going right on my list. That's amazing. Yeah, and I will also second your recommendation for Black River Orchard. It is so good. I just finished it and oh buddy, I might never eat an apple again. I'll probably still
Oh.
eat cupcakes though. I'll
I
question the
mean,
ingredients, but I'll
they're
still
very unctuous
eat.
cupcakes, is what we're saying. You know, it was so
Listen.
fun. The day that I got my very first like ARC in the mail, my daughter had made cupcakes that day.
That's
So like
perfect.
on my Instagram there's pictures where I'm like, well, this is good timing.
Oh, it was meant to be.
Yeah, we can't eat gluten anymore, so she's become like a really talented baker.
Nice. Gluten-free bakery. It's hard to do right, and the people who do it right, oh, I love them.
Yeah, amen.
Incredible. Delilah, oh my goodness gracious. I am so excited for Bloom to come out so that everyone can read it and be as feral as me about it. I'm so excited for you, and I wish you all of the good luck on, publication and tour and all of that good stuff.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your support. It means so much to me. I whenever you write a book, you're like, will anybody like it? I don't know. Authors are very frightened people. We're like, we're little big-eyed baby deer that are very easily crushed and cracked. So like, it really means a lot how much you are talking about it.
Of course, it's my pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. Well, I don't have to go to the post office, so.
Oh, there you go. You get to just chill now. Awesome. Have a good one.
You do.
Bye. Huge thanks again to Delilah S. Dawson for joining me on the podcast. Bloom is available now from Gibson's Bookstore. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. For a shoppable list of all the books we've discussed during this episode, you can click the link in our show notes or go to gibsonsbookstore.com/laydown-books. Make sure you're following us on your favorite social media platforms. We're on Blue Sky, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and all of those links will be in the show notes. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the bookstore. Bye!